DOS mobile.
For DOS KO4PXB. How's it going, sir?
Going real good. I'm out headed. I got to go do a couple errands this afternoon. I'm going to run over from my house in Easley over to Pickens to the Be Well Honey shop and pick up some local honey. And then I got to go get some dog food after that.
Take a lot less time if you actually use your car instead of running.
You're right, but I wouldn't get as much exercise.
Would definitely be true, especially carrying the dog food back, too.
Have two German Shepherds out in the backyard. They eat quite a bit, and I don't think I would want to run from the dog food store back to the house. It's not that far, probably, I don't know, maybe 3 miles, but carrying 40 to 80 pounds of dog food, that's a bit much with all my extra weight.
That is definitely true. I can just remember those days of having that much weight on the rucksack on my back.
I'm one of those that was in the Army.
We had served together. So, yeah, most of the time we had in our rucksack enough for 3 days.
Ready for that. I was in the Navy myself. They put me in the surface Navy, and I decided I didn't like being out there in the middle of the ocean where you can't see land anywhere. So I transferred over to the Air Navy and got into a VP squadron. It's one of those that looked for submarines, and my aircraft did not have a tail hook, so I didn't have to worry about getting on an aircraft carrier.
Time that I ever served, was on actually a Navy ship was a equipment carrier. We were carrying all our equipment out into the first Gulf War, so that way we pretty much did that. So that was pretty much the only time I was ever on a Navy ship, and we just had to do it twice a day, go down into the storage area, and make sure that the equipment was still chained and chalked down.
Terribly bad then. I got out of boot camp, and they put me on a destroyer, and I decided real quick I didn't like a destroyer. And after that, I visited an aircraft carrier on several different occasions, and then I got into the Air Navy, and I enjoyed that more than anything else. I got to fly as an in-flight technician on the P-3 Orion, and I really enjoyed that. It was a lot of fun.
That sounds fun and enjoyable. So far, what I've done today is I've been studying my book for my general exam for the taking my general test. So that's pretty much what I've done today is picked it up and studied probably about 1 or 2 hours, and then I'll do it a little bit later on today.
That's I'm gonna go ahead and wish you a lot of luck on your general. I hope you get it, and I'm sure you will. It's a wonderful thing when you upgrade. There's so many other opportunities open up to you, and it really makes a difference. And you'll find that out before long. And of course, along with the all the other extra stuff that comes along, along with that goes expenses, right?
Definitely true. Because right now I only have this HT, and it's only the 2 meter and the 440. Excuse me. So that's pretty much all I got. So I'm looking at the high frequency rig, and got to work out the issue of hiding an antenna.
I mean, you live in one of those HOAs, don't you? Put up an outside antenna.
I live in an HOA, and like I said, and the president of the HOA lives right across the street, so hiding things from putting it up would be very fun.
depends on how strict the HOA is, I guess. But I don't think I would like to live right across the street from the president of the HOA. That might present a problem. Once you get a wire antenna up in the air, you hardly see it. Nobody really notices it after it's up. Now, they notice it while you're putting it up, but other than that, they don't see it. But there again, you can put up stuff like a flagpole antenna. Put up a flagpole and make an antenna out of it. If you are allowed to put up a flagpole, and there's some neighborhoods you can't even put up a flagpole.
I never asked it about putting up the flagpole, which I already have one out front. So I'm some point in time you're going to look at how to use that as an antenna.
Oh, you might be ahead of the game there, since you already have one up and nobody has said anything, so that might be a plus.
I did not look at the HOA covenant to see about the if the flagpole was even acceptable. Like I said, it's been up at least 4 or 5 years now, maybe longer than that, so now I'm at that point, so be it.
I would be in the same mind frame. If it's been up that long and nobody said anything, I don't think there's a problem with it whatsoever. But they are, I don't know if you get the QST magazine or not. If not, maybe you would want to invest in a ARRL antenna handbook. They've got those flagpole antennas in both of those publications. If you are a member of the ARRL, you can go on the QST, look at the QSTs online. And matter of fact, they asked me if I wanted the magazine, and I told them no, just to hang on to the paper, and I'd look at them via the computer.
I remember the AARL, so that way I'll get on there in line and look, because I think I got one of those magazines quite a while ago. I think they maybe come every 3 months, not every month, just once every 3 months or so.
It comes every month. I had, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 years worth, and I was looking for somebody to give them to, and Chad said he wanted them, so I gave them to him, and he got them over there. I carried them over to the deer camp, and they put them in there. He said they'd give him something to read. When there wasn't anything else to do, like right before we went to bed or something of that nature. But they got all kinds of good articles and stuff in them. I really enjoyed the magazines. Of course, I enjoy them online as well. But, you start accumulating these things and you get 4 or 5 years worth. That's a lot of magazines.
Definitely is. My wife definitely would not let them go that long. After 1 or 2 months, after I read them, they'd be gone.
KOS Mobile, KO4PXB, Mr. Lloyd down there in Simpsonville. I like hanging on to, my wife's a book nut, and we've got books all over the house. And I built bookshelves and need to build some more, but I hadn't done it yet. That's just one of those things that you don't ever seem to have enough of.
It's definitely true. That and storage space. That's always two things that go like crazy.
Yeah, I got a barn out there. Well, I call it a barn. It's actually a two-car garage. But I call it the barn because it houses the tractor and the lawnmower and the trailers and all that sort of stuff. I thought that, it's, what is that building? It's, I want to say it's 24 by 24, but it's nowhere near big enough.
Never are. Once you get the space filled up, you're going, man, I need more space.
Unfortunately, but we'll make through it one way or the other. like I said, the I enjoyed the magazines, you know. Every once in a while, I'd go back through them, and, you know, I said, I think I remember an article about this. And I'd go back, dig through them, and find the article that I was looking for. I still do that online, but it was more fun doing it with the paper magazines. It took me a while longer, but you know how that goes. It gave me something to do when there wasn't nothing else to do.
I still like the reading the Farmer's Almanac, because that definitely has some very interesting things in it for pretty much every day.
I enjoy reading the Farmer's Almanac as well. Of course, I have a little garden and that sort of thing. And I go by that when I do my planning, for the most part. I don't plant, and you know, when a lot of other people do, I'm a little later than some people, and of course I'm a little later than the Farmer's Almanac says to do that. But you know, for that to have been around as long as it has, and you know, the predictions that are in it, like, you know, like for the weather and stuff, I don't know how these folks do it, but it's pretty well accurate as far as that goes. I mean, you know, they miss it a little bit every once in a while, but I don't know all of the old signs and what to look for and this sort of thing.
The only one that I remember, if you have birds that are birds that nest low in the holly bush, then it's going to be cold weather, because that way they stay close to the ground for the warmth coming off the ground, and they'll nest in real close to it and close to the ground.
I used to use birds and woolly worms and all kinds of different animals and watch their traits and figure things out that way. But, you know, that's coming a lost art, I guess. You know, people don't go by that much anymore. They, depending on the meteorologist and the computers to tell them what it's going to do. And sometimes they get it right, and sometimes they don't.
Go for PXB for station ID. Wouldn't it be funny to see the weather for a meteorologist consulting a Farmer's Almanac and giving you the weather?
It would be different, no doubt about it. But, you know, that's the way it goes. I enjoy watching those meteorologists, and I call them weather guessers. Because if you don't like our weather today, you know, wait just a little bit. It's going to change.
Definitely true. In South Carolina, just, if you don't like the weather, wait a minute. It will change.
Some other people that, you know, the only thing constant in life is change, and the weather is one of them. You know, it's continually changing. And if we don't pay attention to what it has done in the past, it's liable to repeat itself, just like, you know, history does. Everything kind of goes in cycles. And, I get a big kick out of these people that holler global warming and this, that, and the other. You know, it's just a cycle that the Earth has gone through before, and it's just time for it to do it again. Yet they want to blame everything on what we as humans have done. We haven't done a whole lot to really help it out, but, you know, we haven't done that much to really destroy it either, I don't think. You know, there's only one person that's going to destroy the Earth, and he knows better about what's going to happen than anybody else, because he's in control there, over.
In effect, they're accelerating the cycle. By the end of this century, there might not be any habitable areas left.
Go back for a minute. You know, people can say what they want to, but there's always going to be a habitable area. If not so, we would not be here today.
That there may be 500,000 and 10,000-year climate cycles. Well, for example, the Earth is currently actually in a glacial age, and has been for the past 2.5 million years. During that period, you've had ice ages within that longer glacial period. So, you know, that's the million-year climate cycle. You have 10,000 and 5,000-year climate cycles. But I think we have enough data of weather observations going back 200 years or more. This is not normal, what's been happening over the past 50 to 100 years or so. Humans are interfering with the cycle. It's getting shorter.
Lloyd, KI4DOS Mobile.
Yeah, that is definitely partially, definitely a good bit of it's true to the fact that the more and more trees that we take off the planet, and without planting them, putting them back, definitely hurts the environment and everything in general.
Yeah, deforestation. Plus, I don't know what we're doing to the oceans. The bigger generator than the forest is the oceans. Billions of tons of plankton. Upset the balance of the oceans, make it too hot or too cold, and that upsets the oxygen balance of the oceans.
Going back to your comment that was just said a while ago that there's plenty of places to live, you're right. People just may not like it because, and it is, excuse me, it is unfortunate, but when people go into an area, they tend to destroy what they got there because, say, if you're in Antarctica or somewhere like that, there's going to be resources there that you can use, but you just have to be smart about it.
History of the Rapa Nui people. Here's a classic example. In case you don't know the name, they're the tribe, I think they're descended from the Polynesians, but they used to occupy this little place in the Pacific called Easter Island, which worked well for them for quite a while, maybe 1,000 years or so. But basically, over the centuries, became uninhabitable, at least for them, because at some point, they cut down all the trees. We're looking at the same thing here on a global scale. I'll tell you who predicted this, and he did it in a children's book, Dr. Seuss. What was that one story by Dr. Seuss about, if I think of the name of the story, it'll come to me. But basically you had somebody set up shop, and you had this forest and these trees that grow nowhere else, and they made this one product that this one person set up shop and made a bunch of money off of, and eventually there was no forest. Damn, what was the name of the, it was a Dr. Seuss book.
I don't know. So, gentlemen, I've arrived here at my first destination. I got to jump out and go inside and do some business. I'll try to get back in here when I come back out. Y'all have a great day if you're gone when I get back. And I'll say 73 for now. Enjoyed it, and we'll do it again. KN4B, Glenn, I can't remember your call. It's BNG, I remember. But K04PXB, this KI4DOS Mobile, be clear.
KG, we'll see you later. I forgot already. KO4PBX, is that it? But, yeah, you know, I personally don't think, you know, if 9 out of 10 scientists say something and one person somewhere on Fox News says something else, I tend to believe the other 9, or the other 99. The climate is going through, in the short term, a warming trend that we definitely see. Whether humans are partially or wholly responsible may not be completely clear, but even if that's not the case, I don't see a downside to trying to stop it. I mean, the argument against green technology, oh, it's so expensive, it'll cost American industry so much money, blah, 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 it'll make us competitive. Well, you know what? Even if none of this is happening, is there a downside to making things work more efficiently or use energy sources that we haven't exploited before? So I think the whole climate denial thing is some sort of backlash against green energy or more efficient energy or renewable energy or whatever you want to call it. For whatever reason, you know, I suspect the oil companies have something to do with bad mouthing it. But if they wanted to, they could be at the forefront of it.
The call sign is Kilo Oscar 4 Papa X-Ray Bravo. I think the book you were, I Googled it. You might be talking about the Lorax.
The trees were the chocula trees or something like that. And it was this forest. Yeah. And in the end, he gives the last chocula tree seed away to, I guess, to the narrator or whoever the story is being relayed from whoever's viewpoint. You know, take this seed and go plant more of these things. But make sure this time you don't chop them all down.
Going back to the old adage that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink it. You can tell people not to, you know, cut down all the trees, but at some point in time, it's still going to happen, and there's unfortunately no way around it.
Because there may not be any alternative, at least not with the, like, let's say, the farming and the food production methods we have now. The Amazon is being cut down for what? Cattle grazing, I assume. Well, you know, as much as this sounds not going to like it, the solution is to get off meat and find other sources of protein in our diet. And there is one source of protein out there we're not exploiting, and that's one you're really not going to like. But at some point, we're going to have to start eating bugs. You know, with a little, with the right sauce, maybe some Tabasco sauce. You never know. But, you know, our current methods of farming are unsustainable. What we need to be doing is, we need to be farming where we live. And I imagine a future where you actually have, in the middle of the city, in the midst of all these skyscrapers, you actually have vertical farms. So now your cost to harvest is cheaper. You know, and that may mean less meat. It may mean meat substitute. And it may mean tofu, or what is it, bug foo. Reconstituted insects. You know, hey, billions of birds can't be wrong.
PXB, going back to the comment that you mentioned about eating bugs, you know, being retired military, that was something that we survived on and were needed if you had to. Like I said, also in Germany and many places still do it today. They have these rooftop gardens, and so they have those, even cities now have the rooftop gardens where people can grow their own food.
Well, I come from one of those cities. You may not think so, but New York City is actually one of the greener cities in this country. And at the time I was still there, the rooftop gardening was starting to take off. You know, they would pop up in places like Brooklyn and Queens, and you would have hydroponic gardens, vertical gardens like that. So, you know, your local food for your restaurants was coming from literally a block away, your local vegetables. The other thing you got to understand about a city like New York is you have a functional transit system. I never owned a car, or actually I never needed the car. The car would sit in the garage until the weekend when I had to drive, let's say, down the island a bit to go to Deborah's parents or wherever for Sunday dinner. Otherwise than that, the car would sit there. Because, A, you have walkable neighborhoods where things are actually within reach, and, B, you have a functional transit system. That changed a bit in the 50s and 60s with the emphasis on, you know, highways and interstates, but, you know, that's still the case. I'm sure that there's cities like that. Some cities are even more sustainable, potentially more sustainable than other parts of the country.
Yeah, definitely not saying anything about New York, but because it's definitely will happen anywhere. And the crime rates have really made it where people are afraid to actually to get out and walk or do anything like that, especially in really congested areas.
Well, perfectly safe, pretty much anywhere I went. Now, you see, I don't know. This is something I would actually have to look at. Because if you're looking at crime, you know, you gotta factor these things. You've got to offset them by population density. When you consider the population density of a place like New York or Chicago, is the crime rate really that high? I think the crime rate is higher in the rural parts of the country when you consider per capita as opposed to total. So you can always distort the statistics by leaving out part of the equation. You know, what is total crimes per capita? And how much does the individual crime rate really have to go up to really move that number?
And true, and there's obviously crimes that are not reported in different areas that are happening everywhere. And like I said, it's just, I guess, in some aspects, a horrible world that we live in, to where the stupidity of crime.
A close look at crimes per, let's say, crimes per 100,000 population is the usual method, sociological, events per 100,000 population, things like that. I would have to look at it that way. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to find that this part of the country right here probably has more when you measure it that way. Because I'll tell you two things. I see a lot of unemployment. I see a lot of poverty. I see a lot of, let's say, low education, which means low-wage jobs. And I see a lot of meth heads around here. Meth or crack or whatever they're on. I guess it's the same everywhere. We don't think of, heroin, fentanyl, crack, meth, whatever. That's always been perceived as an inner-city problem. And we're finding that's not the case. So, I'm just saying, you have to look at the total picture. It's easy to look at one part of a statistic and not realize that you're looking at a leaf or a branch and not the entire tree.
That's definitely true. And one thing that's also hurting a lot is people see this stuff and they're going, they're not doing anything about it except saying, well, it's just something I have to accept. Do what you can to try to resolve it and go from there instead of just turning a blind eye.
Percentage of let's the other station chime in. This is KD2BNG and KO4PXB, I think. How you doing?
I'm glad my radio's getting out. Tried another station earlier this week and he said it was nothing but static, so I'm glad that at least it's coming through decently.
As the range. And I don't think this repeater at the transmitter at the antenna is putting out much more than 30 or 40 watts. it is on a mount. Either Caesar's Head or Paris Mountain or one of those two, whichever one the other repeater's not on, because there's another WNYK repeater. But yeah, this is a pretty decent one.
Yeah, I'm roughly labeled about the same, so I was kind of confused. But on the subject at hand of crime, I will say that Greenville has taken some interesting steps with their crime, and then there's things that go on that we don't hear about that I'm pretty sure gets brushed under the table.
Florida, or Dade County, Florida, either one or both, was horrible for that. If you ever have the opportunity to live in South Florida, don't. But yeah, they were under their. They basically were flat out lying about crime statistics or underreporting crimes to try to make their overall crime rate look a lot lower than it was. Yeah, so there is some shenanigans that go on there as well. And it's more of a question of does saying in advertising perception is reality, and in a lot of cases it's more of a perception than it is the actual case. You know, if you think there's a lot of crime, there's a lot of crime. If you think there's a lot of drug abuse, there's a lot of drug abuse. If you think there's a lot of insert name of social problem here, you know, you'll find some way to see it. You have to look at it that way. Observer effect, or not observer effect, I don't know what you want to call it, but there's that factor too.
What you're looking for is perception. See, the city of Greenville, I got the notice in the other day that there are no pawn shops in city limits. There's no, for lack of better terms, and to keep it radio clean, gentlemen's clubs. And I don't think I have noticed any title loan companies within the city limits as well.
Liquor stores, bail bondsmen, title loan companies, you know, other rip-off loan companies. If you don't see that, also I'll tell you a general indicator of, a general overall indicator of how poor an area is count the number of Walmarts. There seems to be a correlation there. Because whenever Walmart goes in, the local retailers go away, and eventually all the local wages, the local wage pool goes down. So, if you start seeing Walmarts and chain restaurants everywhere, economically there might be a problem.
Point that out, because sitting here in my truck, I cannot think of a Walmart in downtown Greenville, let alone a Walmart. Well, there's Walmarts on the outskirts of Greenville, obviously, but also Dollar General, Family Dollar, and Dollar Tree seems to be kind of hard to find in town.
Well, you know, this is like way out of Greenville, like, you know, Gray Court. So here is probably the opposite. But yeah, something about that and fast food restaurants. And there was one other thing that is in inverse proportion to how generally economic, the general economic well-being of a particular zip code. But, you know, Walmart's restaurants, you know, I don't know, Arby's, Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, Burger King, whatever. If you see a lot of those, and what the reason for that is isn't really clear, but there's a correlation there as well.
Subject that everybody is kind of up in arms as a double pun, gun stores. Greenville's got Cabela's, an academy, but those are on the outskirts of town as well.
Well, I'm not in the market for guns. I don't take that much notice of them. Wait, Walmart and Kmart have guns, don't they? Well, Kmart's not around, are they? A number of gun stores. I don't know what the correlation there is one way or the other. Do you see a lot in the center, in the city? You probably see them more out toward the suburbs. For the simple reason that, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, in downtown, I don't necessarily see gun shops. That's something you don't really care if you have to drive half an hour out of town. You know, it's not like buying a carton of eggs. How often do you really want a gun?
to, but I also transplanted from Muncie, Indiana, where a little town outside of Muncie had a gun shop named Ludco Gun, and they got busted by the ATF. And let's just say if you seize 3 or 4 million rounds of ammunition and 50,000 to 60,000 firearms, Muncie was not the world's safest place to be.
Busted for illegal sales or straw sales or whatever. Yeah, there's a lot of that. I don't know what the gun laws are in Indiana, but I tend to stay away from licensed firearms dealers anyway. In states, it's in the 34, 35 states where private transfers of most firearms are still legal. Just go to a gun show, find someone in the crowd who's carrying a rifle, and say, hey, what do you want for that? You know, clean, simple, off the books.
Any of mine are registered, nor do I care to register them, but I will say I did purchase one from a dealer at Delaware County's gun and knife show one time. Traded a gun for it as well, but yeah, I think the universal gun law is do not go in and buy a firearm for a known felon and hand the firearm to the known felon because they failed the background check might be the quickest way to get busted.
By, you know, in, you know, the gun laws in this country are ridiculous anyway. I mean, you know, I'm a northerner, a Yankee, but I've never really been a supporter of gun control. But now, in a lot of states, even if you buy from a dealer, is registration necessarily required? Okay, when you go to a dealer, you fill out form 4773 or whatever that form is, and you get a copy. The dealer gets a copy. The dealer has to keep this copy for 5 years, after which time he can trash it. Your copy, you know, do whatever you want with it. It's not like there's a third copy that goes to the gun bureau somewhere. So after 5 years, you don't necessarily have a traceable gun anyway. And in states like South Carolina, where private sales are allowed, and I don't think registration is required. You're not required to register your, I don't know about pistols. New York was funny about pistols, but I don't think you're required to register your shotguns and rifles. So, you've got a vast pool out there of untraceable firearms anyway. The whole tempest in a teapot over ghost guns, which, you know, a ghost gun is anything that's been out there so long that it's disappeared off the screen anyway.
Put it that way, for a ghost firearm, I guess all mine are beyond ghosts. But to circle back to crime, the subject at hand, it's interesting how a armed populace seems to have less trouble versus a unarmed populace.
Yeah, maybe. Can't really speak to that. But, you know, I will look at look at it this way. You look at the gun laws and the effect on crime. If anything, you almost see a negative correlation. Let me put it this way. I'm close to 60 years old. Now, 45, 50 years ago, I didn't pick up the paper and read about somebody shooting up a school or a synagogue or a restaurant or somewhere else. You know, you didn't see these things either didn't happen or they were sadly, sadly, sadly underreported. And this is at a time where you had no meaningful gun control regulations at all, at least not at the national level. It almost seems like, in other words, that's not the problem. restrictive regulations don't really seem to be addressing the problem. If anything, you almost have a negative correlation.
In the 50s, didn't they teach gun safety in, like, middle school? Along with woodshop, automotive, home ec, a bunch of basic good skills and knowledge for young folks?
And in some parts of the country, it wasn't so unusual to come to class still carrying your rifle from the morning hunting activity because you didn't have time to put it away, so you put it in your locker. And at the end of the day, you picked it up and went home and went hunting or whatever you did. Or you went to after-school marksmanship practice. In fact, wasn't there a civilian marksmanship program operated by DOD until... Actually, it might even still be in existence, which was very keen on training marks, you know, training pretty much everyone to know how to safely handle a rifle and how to safely shoot it and shoot it with some kind of proficiency. Of course, again, I guess back then we were worried about Martians invading or, you know, Russians invading, roughly the same thing. So, there wasn't this anti-gun hysteria that there is now.
See that coming around and biting us in another 20, 30 years. Because I will say, well, ROTC still is a thing, and I'm pretty sure they still shoot pellet guns in class. But the other thing to look at is everything is controlled at a DOD level with the Xbox controller, if that's something to be said.
Too much into that, simply because, you know, the joystick, gamepad, whatever type of controller, I've seen that for all kinds of other equipment as well, you know. But if what you're suggesting is that, yeah, where the DOD is using that as a recruiting tool for the next generation of either snipers or infantry or drone pilots or whatever. Now, I mean, they have turned to the video game industry for training equipment. That's certainly true. The Marine Corps turned to one of the video game companies not so long ago. You know, make us a, I guess, a Call to Duty simulator, whatever, built to our specifications, so we can train for training purposes. But, yeah, a lot of those controls, I suppose, do look like a joystick or a game controller, although realistically, the ergonomics of it, what else would they look like?
It's not like it would be something specialty. If somebody out in the field just happened to break their controller to their drone, they could run back to their barracks and grab one out of their personal stash. They make a blue billion of them, so I could see that. But I don't think there's that many youth now that can pick up a firearm and actually shoot with proficiency unless they are coached to do so, and that is such a narrow field that I think from a DOD standpoint is an alarming thing.
I'm saying, it's not like playing Call of Duty, is it? Yeah, I can imagine them trying to pick up a real firearm in some sort of dire situation. All right, where's the button that fires? I mean, where's the, is it the joystick or the red button or the green button? How do I fire this thing? And how do I shoot aim it? Yeah, you're right in that sense. So, you know, make a game controller that looks like a weapon, although I'm sure some parents' groups might take exception at that.
I remember back when Nintendo first started to be extraordinarily popular, there was an NES system that had a sniper simulator and a grenade launcher. part of their lineup.
NES controller that would, yeah, there was a gun-shaped NES controller for a lot of those first-person shooter-type games. If they were any good on that platform, probably, this goes back 30 years or more. So, yeah, for games like that, I guess you would almost have to, or the Guitar Hero controller, you know, there's a, you know, what, for a program like Guitar Hero, what realistically would you use? Something that's vaguely guitar-shaped. Yeah, that'll probably work. But, yeah, now it's not so much, I guess maybe now it's not so much the actual physical manipulation and aiming and shooting and firing is, it's just, you know, the gameplay. I don't really know. I'm not really a gamer.
And more along the lines of, ow, this is loud. Dang, this is heavy to carry. You mean I can't just poke a button and get more bullets? Bullets go which direction?
Yeah. Oh, you mean as you're going through the game universe, you don't just find extra bullets and it doesn't automatically reload? That's, yeah, I know enough to know that any time in the game you find bullets or other weapons, especially if you find a weapon that's much, much better than the one you're carrying, there's going to be some major trouble just ahead in the game. So, I know I've played enough games to know that. Be suspicious when you either find a whole bunch of extra ammo or a much better weapon than the one you're carrying. Especially if you find things like extra med kits, extra healing potions, or whatever. Something nasty is about to attack.
Yeah, I've reached where I'm headed for the minute, and I'm going to step away from the mic for a few. This is KO4EEE. I'll be right back.
Yep. Well, I've been sitting in the parking lot for Dollar General for half an hour now. All right, we'll talk to you later. This is KD2B.